Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe, joined here today by Gabriel.
I am here.
And Robbie.
I am also here.
Not Roberto. Like I said, we took last week off, we're just gonna be perfectly honest. We went and played golf.
Yeah,
there's no need in line. That's what happened.
Shoot it straight.
Now we had.
I went to Florida.
We had an interview.
We weren't going to, and then we went to lunch.
Yeah,
and then conversations. We sat in a place.
It was 72 degrees.
Yeah, the garage doors were up. The wind was moving. It was like it was impossible.
It was.
To deny
it would have been sad not to go play golf.
I don't appreciate this weather that you all have now that I've come back to.
It's kind of chilly.
When Gabe left, it was awesome. Gabe came back. It's back to like normal.
Orlando was cool. Almost wrecked. I think it was 90 or 91 on Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
And we're driving back. We get to Georgia, and it's like, it's cool, but it's not bad. Get back to E-Town, and it's like,
chilly. Oh,
no, we're going back. I'm out.
Yeah.
It has not been that way. Granted, we dealt with like a small hurricane.
Yeah, yeah. The storms were
because of it. We paid for it.
70-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had a great time playing some golf, and we had an interview queued up and ready to go that we wanted to get out, an interview with Jen Chen from Google, a long-time Chrome OS employee.
Yes.
Google employee who, she's been working on Chrome OS for 10 years, over 10 years now, because the article that they wrote about her working on Chrome OS was in 2022. So over 10 years now,
that's
she's been
almost from the crazy beginning
working on Chrome OS. And it was just such a cool chat. Like, she just knows her stuff through and through, and just had so many cool little insights and different things about the OS. We talked through just kind of some of the hurdles they had to overcome early, and just, you don't like design when you think about an OS, like design and UX is everything, right? It's how you interact with the software. It's how you get things done.
Yeah.
And so it's like the whole philosophy of Chrome OS is design, right? You know, so she really is at the core of what Chrome OS is. And just hearing the, you know, hearing how they just had to work through, you know, starting, you know, very, very, very basic. And we talked about that with Alex. I don't remember who it was that was saying, like, yeah, you know, like the wallpaper idea. You know, we finally decided that we probably need a wallpaper. And so it was just cool to chat with her. And it was just, we went over time because we just kept chatting, and she was kind enough to keep it rolling. But it was just a fun conversation. Definitely go check it out. We put it out last week. Five questions with Jen Chen. So let's dig into some of the news from the week. And I think let's start with Pixel Fold.
Sure.
Because it's most exciting.
Is most.
Yeah. I think for us, that's
Dragonfly. No, it's Dragonfly Pro Chromebook.
Yeah, for us.
Pixel Fold.
Yeah. We're not even going to bring up. We're breezing past Dragonfly Chromebook. We're not coming back to it because we can't say anything else.
We have a new unboxing of the Sparkling Black edition.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I think that's the marketing name.
Sparkling Black and Ceramic White.
Sparkling or Sparkly?
Sparkling.
I think Sparkling.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what
Sparkling
we wrote. That's what we said.
that's
what Chrome and Box said, so that's what it is.
Gabe wrote that.
Gabe wrote it. Gabe put it in.
Did I?
Put
from Vegas.
Put it in ink.
Yeah, I think it's sparkling.
Oh, it's probably mostly absolutely correct.
Yeah.
mostly.
It was
sure.
based on.
No,
probably
I wrote that. I wrote that off the press release. So yeah, that had to be
probably
that.
On a press release somewhere.
It doesn't seem very sparkly to me.
No, it does not. If you get it in the light, it does have. I mean, it's got a something.
Is it more shimmery than sparkly?
No, it's like a.
It reminds me a lot of the Pixelbook Go.
Yeah.
Were you going to say or Svelte?
No, it's
or as
like
I said in the video,
like,
the Pixelbook Pro.
It's just almost got like it doesn't have sparkles not in a it. Thing. It's more of like a
translucent.
It's 3D.
I don't know how to describe it.
Multi-layered.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. I was like fluorescent, yeah. Not the right word.
Like the ASUS.
I've spent more time with it than anybody 530s? Else. It's not very pearlescent.
Not very pearlescent. Mm.
No, pearlescent is the ASUS. I'm not sure about C436.
Yeah,
that was pearlescent.
That was it. Yeah,
Like a car. You look at it from different angles.
Kind of changes
different colors in it.
Yeah.
It does not have that. It is very. I like it better. It's ceramic white. It does feel like ceramic. It's very like. Texture-y.
The only thing I noticed with the sparkling black is whenever I was taking photos of it, like looking at my photos and editing them, like I did a little bit of a creative edit on this one, and so I was really adjusting all the sliders editing this one, and there was like almost like a blue shade all down through the bottom, and I had that turned off. I remember turning off that little light on purpose, so it almost had this like blue shade down along the bottom, and so I don't know, I'd be curious like when we get to film some more B-roll and stuff with that, like what it would look like outside on camera, you know?
Yeah.
We'll so that'd be interesting. But anywho, moving on, Pixel Fold. What do we know? What's new?
So two things since we last sat in here. The one thing, a source at 9to5 Google found like some battery stats on it. Basically, it's more like a heaviness kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything conclusive, but it's closer to 5,000 milliamp hours, but not quite. And what's odd is I would have sworn the Galaxy Z Fold had more battery than that, but apparently not.
So 48 to 50?
No, it's like 44 or 42.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if the Pixel Fold gets up closer to 5, I only use the Fold for 2 weeks or whatever, so I don't recall battery being an issue at all, but. Maybe it is. I don't know. 4,400 is not that much.
Right.
To power
for
that
large
screen.
Of a screen. Yeah, you would think that might
think
eat
like
up some
this,
of your...
The Galaxy 23 Ultra here has like a 5,000 milliamp hour battery. I'm not sure. But Pixel Fold apparently is going to approach 5,000. And weight-wise, it's going to be a little hefty. It's part of just adding more battery. And maybe that's why some of these foldables have laid off on the battery a little bit as much as possible, just get that
compromise for the weight. Yeah.
It's going to be relatively heavy. And then some of the design sizes and stuff, like a lot of people are now saying like they should have went with the Oppo Find N size because it is a smaller foldable, but it's more manageable and lighter. And then you can put a little bit bigger battery in.
Right.
This one is bigger than the Oppo Find N from these reports, obviously. I mean, Dave2D. Got the case mold, basically the mold they used to build a case for it. Kind of know what the physical aspects.
Yeah,
but it is similar to the Oppo in the dimensions wise, though, right? Is that right?
No, it's bigger. No? Yeah, it's bigger.
Ratio. I mean, not.
Yeah,
dimensions.
It's closer
so
to
it's
that.
Not. It's more Oppo than it is.
Yeah,
the Galaxy.
The Galaxy Fold. You open it up and you're still in portrait,
right?
Just barely. I mean, they're close to a square. Same thing with the Pixel Fold. It's still close to a square. It just happens to be on the landscape side of a square.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like conclusive or anything there, but some cool extra info. And then we haven't even written this yet because I just didn't know how to tackle it. I didn't want to be super.
I have an idea for a.
Joe asked, and I was just like, I don't know. Can't really tell literally anything from it.
Are you talking about the sightings? I have an idea for a title. Here's some random blurry photos of the Pixel Fold.
Of what
Fold.
Might be the Pixel
make,
Fold.
Make what you want.
But also might not.
Yeah, like make what you want of it, basically.
I feel like there needs to be like some kind of Sasquatch reference to these photos. Definitely.
It's kind of that way.
Yeah. Right, right.
So the Redditor is like, hey, I saw it, and it had the Pixel light bar on the camera bar on the back, and it was a foldable. It's like, okay, it probably gives it away based on what you said.
But the photos aren't.
The photo, I'm on a train and I didn't want to be conspicuous. I'm like, I get
what
it.
What kind of phone was he using? Like a Nokia 3000?
Yeah.
Bust out your flip phone for
it's
that?
Not, it's not hard to get a discreet,
it's
good
not.
Photo of something.
So these, my photo is blurry. I'm like,
but it is.
Then you're doing that on purpose because, I mean, I could pick up a phone and just take a quick show. We've done it before.
Yeah.
I think we've done it on this podcast.
I think we did, trying to get
it. And just click. And it's not blurry.
No.
Like, and even if it is, the AI is going to fix most of it. And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. It's supposed to be.
I'm that guy. I would have straight walked up and been like, hey, dude, what you got there?
You got Pixel Fold?
That's cool. And can one, I get a photo of it and post it on Reddit?
The one that's in...
selfie.
That's actually in focus. The guy's got it. He's holding it two-handed like this, kind of covering all of it like this and holding it close. And so it's like, if because somebody said this is the Pixel Fold, you're looking for some sort of clue that that's what it is. If you didn't know and you looked down and saw it, you wouldn't think anything of this. And so I don't know. I'm not like, oh my God, there it is.
Hey,
but if it is, then the cool part is, you know, we're speculating that at Google I/O we would like to see it.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome if it just full out launched, like. Not like here's a sneak peek, but
like you can go
here
buy
it is. Pixel 7 Ace here. Here's the Pixel Fold as well.
Because like, do the it. A series, go all the way. The A series is mentioned at I/O and released in July. And released in July is what they do. So same thing.
Yep.
It's ready. It's got to be ready.
Good Lord.
Don't wait any longer.
And they don't need to because it's going to have old school Tensor. Well, old school at this point. It's silly. But it's going to have Tensor 2 in it. And so. If they push too much farther, it then feels obsolete. And if the price is rumored at $1,800,
it needs to come out.
It needs to get out. Even if it's not ready or what, just get it out the door or can it.
And I feel like, obviously, like they you know, given the cycle, have always announced the A series at I/O. You can use this as, you know, a bit of a talking point for, you know, different form factors and for developers to build apps for this, and here's what we've done to Android to make it work with this. So, like, you could really make a nice keynote around this, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely a good keystone for the Android.
And think about
developers.
From a developer conference standpoint, you now are going to introduce the 7A, which the 7A, I think, is going to be a whole story in and of itself, if all the rumors are true. Like, this is an interesting... If it keeps its price point, I mean, the stuff that they're going to add in this phone is going to shake up the mid-range phone segment big time, because... the 6A was close, but man, we've talked about this, but the 60 hertz screen technically was a 90 hertz screen that was basically underclocked, you know, for that. It could go up to 90 hertz or whatever. I don't know if it was good for the screen or not good for the screen or whatever to do that, but there were people that were doing it, like they could get 90 hertz out of it. So whether it was battery saving or that screen wasn't meant really for that kind of refresh, whatever. But the 6A did a lot of good stuff, but that screen was just weird. Like, I've used 60 hertz screens. Like, I've got an iPad mini, and it's 60 hertz. Most of our Chromebooks are 60 hertz. It's like, once you look at it for a second, you get used to it. It's fine. The 60 hertz on the Pixel 6A was weird. Like, it was extra jittery looking. Mm-hmm. And probably I feel like it's because it's a 90 forced. Hertz being pulled back. Like, my monitor on my desk is 144 hertz. At 120, it's fine. But if I pull it back to 60, like, I feel like I notice it more on there than I do on the Chromebook that's powering it.
Right.
So, like, when you throttle things down, they always have a tendency to run not optimized.
Yeah, it's like scaling down an image. Like, if you just took it natively at that resolution, it would be a better image than if you scale down a bigger image most times. Anywho, that was like a huge turnoff for me. The rest of it was really interesting. And now you're talking, like, I think they're going to get more modern cameras involved in this version, a 90 hertz screen. Mm-hmm. There was something else, Pixel 7-ish, that was coming along for the ride as well. I don't remember what it was. It doesn't matter.
I don't remember.
It's going to be a much closer to the Pixel 7 line, like to the point like we've written about, like how are they even going to sell this alongside the Pixel 7? Like it's if these rumors are true, it's going to be so close to the spec.
Figure by the time it comes out in July, you know, August, September, October, you got 3 months before
they might be shipping out.
Comes out
and getting rid of the 7.
If this is priced competitively the way they have the A series, I foresee the 8 being more in that Samsung price range. I think we're going to see the more $1,000, $1,200 phones. Maybe.
And like remember I was looking at the other day, I forgot all about it. The post where the roadmap for Pixel leaked.
Yeah.
And there's some ifs and, you know, there's some room to move, but it feels like they're going to move more towards a model closer to what Samsung does and what Apple does, where you've got you've got, I think, the bigger phones with all the stuff, and then the smaller phones don't quite have, and then the pricing structure would change, and then they would go to an every 2 years with the A series, a little bit more into that model, which they might be still thinking about whether they're going to do that or not. But I feel like they've almost overcrowded themselves a little bit. It'd be different if they owned more market share. But I was talking to a guy in the office here, Josh, and he picked my phone up and was like, "Oh, when did you change to this?" And it's like, "Oh, it's been a few weeks now. I've had it." And he's like, "Well, what do you think?" I really like it. Like, actually enjoy it because I've just come off this idea of having to have Google branded everything. Like, I'm still getting all the experience here, and now I can know how do Samsung phones work with Chromebooks. Spoiler, they work great with Chromebooks, and it works better with my car too. For what it's worth, it really does. Like the Bluetooth issues on the Pixel 7 were driving me nuts. Like, three or four times a week, my car wouldn't unlock, and so I'd have to open the app and get it to wake up. And not one time has it happened.
I was trying to take a call on my phone this morning and would not pair to my phone.
Yeah, and you're pairing Pixel Buds to a Pixel 7 Pro. No good.
Yeah.
But part of that is Tensor. Like, any of these issues, I will always blame on Tensor because it's a custom SoC. And so some of these problems were that they've squashed 3 years ago with a Qualcomm-based silicon, they're still trying to figure out with Tensor. Yep. And so, but the idea here is like, going back to percentage-wise, percentage of market share, he was asking, he was like, "So why'd you do that?" And I was like, "Well, you know, if we look at the percentages, there's probably a massive percent of our audience that uses Samsung phones." Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I hate not knowing how they work. Like, always being like, "Well, the Pixel has this new feature that works with a Chromebook and da-da-da." Like, well, is that working for Android or is that working for Pixel phones? And so I pulled up the data today. In the U.S., this was a late 2020, early 2023 report. Apple has like 54% of the smartphone market. Samsung has 34-36%. But I was like, you got to think of it this way. I was like, we're not worried about Apple users. And if you use an iPhone, I'm not saying you don't matter or anything. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to use an iPhone.
Robbie Payne said,
"Yeah,
iPhone users don't matter."
Don't matter. Not the case. If you're using an iPhone with your Chromebook, more power to
good
you.
Good on you.
It's probably an experiment I need to do, but long term, it's the majority of people that are choosing to use a Chromebook as a daily driver probably on Android. That's just a generality. But so we take the 54% of the pie out and look at it now, 34% of the remaining 44%, do the math.
Yeah.
It actually comes to, of the U.S. Android market share, it's close to 70%. Samsung. Yeah. And with Google having, I think Google's is like 3% total. So they're only getting 3%, they're better than 3%. So it'd be closer to like 5-6% of the Android market. But that tells me that tons of people use Samsung smartphones. And so I forget the whole reason I was, why are you talking? Google Assistant. Dumb as a box of rocks.
And getting worse by the day is the worst part. Yeah.
So dumb.
Do you all feel like
Bixby,
voice,
dumb.
Do you feel like voice texting has gotten
it
worse?
Does, so I don't use the Assistant one on here because it's Gboard Assistant typing is only a Pixel thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't have it on here and it's been great.
Yeah, it feels like it's trying to do more in the way of like
adding periods in the middle of my
adding
sentences
periods,
randomly here.
And, yeah, I've been having that.
If it was
a lot
accurate, it'd be great.
Yeah, and that's the problem is that I think it's trying to do that better and it's doing it worse because I'm the same thing. I'll get broken sentences with a period
well,
and
like
a capital
question marks. Capital.
Sometimes I'm like thinking as I'm saying a message.
Yeah, so you wait half a second, it's a period.
Yeah.
Like, dude, back up. Take the whole thing and then
figure
out
your
grammar.
If you're reading it contextually, you should understand that that's not a sentence break.
Yeah.
So dumb. I don't remember why we got on this tangent.
Pixel fold, battery, weight, percentage.
Samsung.
It was something to do.
7A, IO. Need to release.
Oh, launching
IO.
That's kind of the
we need a phone and a friend.
Yeah, seriously. So we were talking about IO. We were talking about them launching products. Yeah. But at IO, if we get kind of back to that conversation, like, you know, I think if they were to launch, you know, the tablet. That's what we're talking about, the cannibalization of Pixel 7, it moving more towards a Samsung model, all that kind of stuff. But at I.O., I do think they could launch the tablet, the foldable, and then Pixel 7a, and really have this cool hardware that you can use to talk about what you're doing with Android software.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because they've done that with the tablet. Done that with the Assistant. They introduced Google Home there, and how their hardware kind of pivots around what they're doing from the developer standpoint.
How much or how little do you think they will talk about AI?
Very little.
I think they won't talk about it at all.
Nope. Yeah.
Based on some conversations we've had recently.
I think they're going to basically ignore it.
I do too. I think they should.
Machine learning will be the extent of it. I don't think AI is going to be even in the picture.
Yeah. You know, they did a post like a week ago, Google did, about how AI is already in your stuff. And you know, when we spoke with John recently, John Miletus, that was part of that conversation. And you know, I would love to see them do a deeper dive into that.
Right.
Not technically, but talk about the other
ways.
From
consumers, yeah. From a consumer standpoint.
It felt very much like, here's how AI is working on a Pixel phone. So that post felt like. It's, you know, a magic eraser and, you know, doing some cool
in
stuff
Google
with your
photos.
Okay, yeah, I get that. But it's also doing all kinds of crazy stuff, like when it helps to autofill my emails and the way they're using Workspace and working stuff between those Workspace apps. And there's all kinds of little things that AI is doing and has been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
We watched John Oliver's
so good.
This week. Is it this week tonight?
This week tonight.
Last week tonight.
I thought it was this week tonight.
We'll link it in the show notes because it's a very good watch.
25 minutes, but it's, you know, filled with John Oliver's witty banter in the middle of all kinds of stuff. But he talked about AI, and the writers on that show do a great job a lot of times, especially with technical things, of really digging up, well, here's what this did, and this is what that did, and joke, haha. And then here's, you know, and you really get some really great information. It was a really good piece.
Yeah. IO, they're going
to... Yes, we're talking about IO.
Yeah. IO, they will likely, hopefully, announce the Fold. I think it's a great spot to do it. Hopefully, they'll announce the tablet as well, the Android tablet that will, we think, mount to a speaker. Have they officially said that?
Yes, they did. It's
official. October event.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard.
I couldn't remember. Yeah, I'm like...
Can we start calling it Oktoberfest?
Yeah.
Can we just do that?
Whatever.
We get mixed between like the events that we've been to, the stuff we're sitting on under embargo.
Right.
The stuff we've dug up ourselves.
The stuff that other people have dug up and what actually is it.
Like, yeah, it's hard.
Sometimes it gets confusing.
So I hadn't read it yet, but I saw the headline. IO is one day.
Mm-hmm. So like, just like last year. Limited keynote attendance.
Okay.
And so like kind of like last year, the amphitheater was full last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was it. Like there weren't, I think every other year, like you can get into the keynote, but maybe not go to the developer breakouts or vice versa or something. Like, I think that'll be it. Like, who gets in the amphitheater is it.
Are you telling me I'm not going to California?
I don't know.
I
don't know what's happening.
Somebody from Mountain View is listening and you want to invite us.
There's been talk.
I need to go.
There's been talk.
I need to go.
We'll make it happen.
Talk enough that, you know, I've already talked to the wife about the possibility
the dates
of us going
out
there.
May 10th.
One day. No dates. Date.
Oh, yeah. Date.
Date.
It'll be
what
a
is the date of the event?
Whirlwind tour.
Yeah, it's May 10th, and it'll be like last year. There'll be two keynotes, just like there is every year. There'll be the main keynote where they'll talk about sustainability, and they'll talk about all the same stuff they always talk about, and they'll hit on probably some product highlights or whatever. And then there'll be the Android keynote where they really dig into some of the Android keynote gets a little more in the weeds than the main keynote. And then that will be it as far as live stuff. And then at that moment, I think over 100 sessions will be on demand, ready to go.
Which is, it's a great, I honestly, I don't hate it.
Yeah, like, it's both.
For what they do, yeah, that needs to be that way.
And there have been some people on Twitter like, yeah, I get it, but I'm also bummed, you know, because there's just energy in getting around other people, like-minded people, getting to bounce ideas off people. I'm not a developer, so I don't know, but I would imagine there's a lot of good that can come from sitting in a session and being able to go talk to somebody afterwards and then, or talk to somebody else, be like, did you hear that? So what are you doing with that? Or that you lose, you know, the information gets disseminated way better, way quicker, way easier. It's on demand. So as soon as they post that schedule, you can go, I want to watch the keynote. And when these things pop up, watch them and you're done.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to string on for 3 days.
Yeah.
I do get that. And hopefully they'll bring back the, was it IO Adventure or something like that?
Yeah.
It looks like Zelda, except you can go, there's Easter eggs and interactive things you can do. I get it. I get why they're doing it. you know, last year it's like, well, we're just coming out of COVID, so we got to do this. Well, they don't have that excuse anymore, but I'm sure probably saved them a boatload of money. It's probably easier to deal with and produce and put on. And it's probably what, I don't pay that much attention to WWDC from Apple. I don't know how they do theirs, but I feel like it's kind of the same thing.
It was probably based off a lot of feedback from developers based off the last couple of years. Like, hey, we really like the way you did this. And
people that, you think about the number of developers that probably watch these breakout sessions and always did anyway, and never went to California for it. To spend more of your money, time, and effort on making those breakout sessions great for those people,
right,
probably has a way larger impact than trying to make sure those live sessions, you know, sometimes the filming and the audio wasn't always right for those live sessions, and that's a whole lot more headache.
And sometimes they could have
prepared these in the last month. Exactly. They're already sitting there. They're
sometimes
done.
They didn't make any sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have any sort of, for those that are registered for I.O. and like you're a part of this event virtually.
I'm registered.
Yeah, I need to go register. to have, is there any sort of like discussion area, or when you watch these on demand, is there a comment section or something that would be interesting to maybe have some of that collaboration without being in the same room together?
I think part of it that IO adventure thing, I thought, is partly that, like, yeah, you can go into the session, you can talk. Problem is, real-time chatter won't happen because all of them will go live at the same time, so right. You may be watching at 1 p.m. I'm going to watch it tonight.
But at least if you have a question, or if you're saying, oh, hey, I just watched this. What somebody's thought about this? How can we use this? And then somebody can go back and comment later.
On YouTube, I would assume the comments get left open.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
or
not.
If they're locked down. One day only, May 10th. And we're excited because I think especially if we get to be there, you know, that'd be...
Is it at Shoreline again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll have it in the amphitheater. So the live parts will be the same as they've always been.
Yeah.
And again, for the general public, for most people, it'll look like it always has for the last decade or whatever, you know, since it's been at Shoreline. For those that are a little more in the weeds with it. I mean, obviously, for us, not ever having been out there for this event, it's having them all the stuff on demand, the schedule out beforehand, pick the ones you want, add them to your little profile. As soon as they come available after the keynote, watch them, digest the information and report on it. It's been nice, but I'm not a developer, so I get that some people are bummed about it. And I really do. Mm-hmm.
Maybe down the road it could go back to that. You know,
I would say if the majority of developers say, "Hey, it's for us if we're in person," they would probably do that, because at the end of the day, they need developers to get the most out of this as possible and then implement those things.
In the past, developers who wanted to attend, like, I'm sure Google invited certain like top developers, like making certain key apps and stuff, but like, could people buy tickets? Developers?
Yeah, like $2,500.
Yeah, so I thought, I remember it being expensive.
So now you're talking about travel to California,
right,
staying in California.
But is that still the case with even this limited group? Like, is there any option anybody to? Huh?
I don't think so. I feel like this
they're
going to
invite only. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I was just, any developer listening who might be like, oh, well,
the thing is, like a developer like that goes out there for the keynotes, like, you're just gonna sit in the crowd and watch keynote,
right?
Like, it's if this is a paid thing.
Mm-hmm. The keynote is for press,
and it's why last year, like, you saw so many press all of a sudden at Google I/O.
Yeah,
they kind of switched that up a little bit.
Yeah,
if they're gonna introduce hardware and talk about features and all that kind of stuff, like, it is more of a press event. You know, the breakout sessions afterwards aren't, but you know, that it's clearly a bit of a diluted stream of thought that comes from especially the first keynote. Like, they just don't get super into the weeds. It's more of like, here's cool stuff.
Company update
doing.
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, here's some stuff we're trying to aim at. This is high level. Android gets you a little bit more lower level of like actual tools that are being leveraged for things. And then the breakout sessions get you in the weeds completely for very particular things. Yeah. So, I'm speaking like selfishly for us, kind of great.
Yeah, like, sure. Yeah.
I don't want to have to go out to California and like figure out a week trip.
All right. You know, cool, do all these sessions and go here and do this.
Do IO stuff for a day and do some of our work and be able to spend the other couple days, you know, meeting with some people that we'd love to get to meet with, maybe setting up some podcasts, you know, like doing that kind of stuff.
Right. Rather than just trying to get the information.
I get it. That's me. Yeah. That's me talking selfishly.
Yeah. For sure. And that's why
we've gotten spoiled with CES.
I said, oh yeah, I like that. But that was purely from our standpoint, from the general person or, you know, developers who are going, it may not be the best, but there you have it. We'll obviously be reporting on everything happening at I/O.
Whether we go or not, obviously, we're
obviously going to be covering down on that on chromeunbox.com, so stay tuned. For right now, we're going to take a quick break for an ad, though, and we'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin Console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. We forgot to mention one thing about the Pixel Fold.
Probably my whole thing about Samsungs and
he got lost.
Teslas.
He got he hasn't even brought up the Tesla yet. Hasn't even brought the dog in here.
I even said my car. Didn't even say the Tesla.
You don't refer to it as my Tesla every single time.
It's just my car. Yeah, it's just
it's my car. Isn't it funny how
I just call it the Tesla sometimes.
Yeah, when you drive it though, it you know, you're like, oh, this is like, yeah, it's an incredible vehicle. It has all this stuff, but it's a car. Yeah. It's a utility type thing. You know?
It's amazing. But
it's still not lost to me.
But it's amazing the difference words make, though. If you just say, oh, it's out in the Tesla, that to me, that because like if something's in my wife's car, like those Bubblies, I bought them before vacation, and I forgot to bring them in because they were in the Tucson.
Yeah, I would refer. We would
if
refer
you walked around and said, oh, I left my keys in my Tesla.
Right.
Yeah, the Tesla.
That's some elitist stuff right there. I'm just saying. But he doesn't do that. He just said it's in the car. It's fine. So...
we stop like
talking to you.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
Yeah. While we're talking about it, since we talked about Teslas on here at one point in time. I explained the deal that I got on this thing. Yeah. I don't know. There's just such a weird idea that somehow I've went and bought a Maserati, basically.
Yeah.
And now I've seen multiple comments either on Twitter or on our website. Well, I guess, you know, we're doing such and such. Whatever it is that we're doing that you don't like to see, I guess you're doing that because Robbie's got to pay for his Tesla.
Right. Yeah.
I paid for it way less than what most people would pay for a Toyota. Okay. Yeah. It just worked out.
And you're paying like what you paid for your other car, right?
I'm paying less. I'm paying less for this vehicle on a monthly basis than I paid for my Honda HR-V.
Speaking of Teslas. I saw an article. The new one is it like an out?
The Model 3.
They just announced.
People
have
seen it like with the I got the crap all over it, so you can't see it.
Yeah.
There's a Model Y being coming.
But
out
it's like
apparently
universal charger or something like that. Or
no,
like,
so
they have a name for it. I can't remember.
So that's
what
the charging stuff is changing. Some of the Tesla chargers are going to be converted to be CCS. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? That's the more universal charging. And so people that have like a Ford or whatever can pull up and use a Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla has a specific name for it. It's not ambiguous.
And then there's
there's
a fourth gen charger somebody saw out. Apparently they're large. I don't know.
Okay.
I get because I've looked up a little bit of stuff on Tesla, of course. Now
you're getting all of it.
It's all in my feed all the time. Yeah. So I'm like, whatever. But yeah, there's a new Model 3 apparently coming. And the big new thing that they're probably going to eventually be coming out with pretty soon are these new batteries.
Yeah.
That it's just a difference what they're building in Austin, I think, in the Gigafactory there.
Reno. Where's the Gigafactory?
They've got multiple Gigafactories.
Yeah. Where's the big one though?
The biggest one's in Austin, right?
Yeah.
Now. So they're finishing out the one in Nevada, to be full size. So they're all the full blown Gigafactory.
Yeah,
kind of
Sparks Nevada is the one I was thinking of.
It's not a full size one yet. They're finishing it out now. So they built what they needed on it, but they built the full size one.
Can we go
visit
that?
That would be dope.
Awesome.
So insane to see those buildings.
Yeah, I've watched some videos about like how they work and how they manufacture literally everything in that one place and how it changed.
Does it look like the ones that were in PUBG?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, pretty much the same.
Except, you know, 100 times. I mean, it, like, they set it up next to, I think, the Burj Khalifa. It's taller. So if you laid the Burj Khalifa down, it's longer than that would be.
Jesus.
They're very large.
Big buildings.
But they're also, you know, they're manufacturing all the parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they show, like, I've watched videos where
just
they
not
show
typical for an auto manufacturer.
All the pieces coming and how they flow through the factory to.
And they get them when they need them. Right. Is, like, the biggest.
Yeah, it's a little change. A little just in time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the new batteries will probably change a lot. I would say, like, that it'll probably be a difference maker for people like me who have one and enjoy the vehicle. They start coming out with Model Ys with 500 miles of range.
Yep. Yeah.
Going to be hard for me not to start making some moves to get myself in one of those, because it's literally the only thing that bothers me a little bit about it. It's
sure. Just, a little range anxiety.
Range anxiety. Yeah. It's real.
Do yourself a favor. Go drive one of those Chargers first.
I will say, like,
Gabe's family car, Gabe's travel car, Charger
range
GT.
On that interstate, 430 miles.
There you go.
Just so you know.
It's funny. Like, I remember for years and years, I used to buy guitars and sell guitars. I'd buy a guitar and sell it, and I'd see another one I liked. I'd sell and try to figure out a way to get another guitar, and I went through all kinds of them, and then I landed on this company called Composite Acoustics. And I've had that guitar for
20 years.
Pushing close.
Yeah.
Almost 20 years.
I remember when you bought it.
And I remember the weirdest feeling of being like, oh, I don't really feel the need to go look at guitars anymore. I stopped going to guitar shops.
It's Forrest Gump running. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I think I want to go home now. I'm tired.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, this guitar is great. And it does all the things I want it to do. So I don't know what else to what I'm looking at anymore. I feel that way with this vehicle.
Like, well, you
I'm like, other than range, like, everything else about it, I love it, and I get it. It's different than what most people like. And I looked at somebody had a Ford Lightning, by the way, that probably costs twice as much as my car
here.
Yeah, it was outside. I think I'm pretty sure it's LaRue. I think it's Ben LaRue.
It's parked too. It's parked behind.
I think it was him. I saw him from the back, but I walked by it as I was walking in this morning. Just kind of looked in, and like the console and everything looks like a regular car.
Yep,
like they didn't go and make it all futuristic looking. It looks like a Ford. You know, it just happens to be electric. And
that's because,
like,
they know they're not going to sell it to truck guys.
Exactly.
If it doesn't.
And so
look
for
like
a lot of people, they don't want a new take on driving or a new take on a vehicle. They just want. I don't even know if they want the electric or not. Most people, a lot of people don't still. But that's kind of what's being delivered in most cars. Driving a Tesla, it feels like a different experience. Like, it was a whole different thing than just getting into another car. And I like that about it. Like, I enjoy that. And there's just something about the experience of owning this vehicle that I've never had with another vehicle before. Like, I feel like I've like arrived at the place I just want to be. I don't want a Porsche. I don't want a whatever. You know, I'm not a car guy. I don't really care that much about having some big fancy car.
What's going to happen?
I sit in that Tesla and I'm like, this is my business for me.
He's reached the guitar plateau. Right. He's reached the car plateau.
Again, range.
For now.
They can swap my battery out. Give me 200 more miles of range. That's the only change I would
phone
make.
Phone stuff. Why? I think he's kind of in a plateau right there. He bought a new driver the other day, which he immediately returned because he realized
he's good with his PXG.
He's good with the PXG. Robbie is in a season of content.
Yeah.
How long is it going to be before he's in a season of discontent?
Oh,
the other one, the HP.
Malcontent.
Obviously, no reviews or anything yet, but we believe that the Dragonfly could be the plateau for him. What's he going to do?
I don't know.
He's going to be a whole new Robbie.
I'm just going to get obsessed more about my golf swing.
Train your dog. Train your dog.
Yeah.
He had the dog in here rolling over this morning. I mean,
new tricks.
Yeah, golf simulator is going to be ever evolving, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. That'll require a different room.
We'll get there.
Next step of that's a new room.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Need a bigger room.
We'll get there.
Okay. FCC filings for the Pixel Fold.
Well,
or maybe.
No.
Maybe
not,
Pixel
no.
Fold.
Probably
maybe
the
not.
Pixel 7a. The original report I saw was at 9to5 Google. And they said it could be either. And technically, it could. There's not enough evidence in the FCC filing because they'll keep that stuff pretty locked down for 6 months to 100% say it's XYZ phone. But when you look at the serial numbers compared to other Pixel phones, it makes it look like it's probably the 7A,
right,
more than likely. But it could be the Fold. There's not enough detail to know. Like, you can't, there's no dimensions or size or battery size. All that stuff's hidden for right now. And so when you look at the actual serial number for these models and compare it to others, it stands to reason that it's the Pixel 7a, not surprising. And we would expect, if it is the Fold, we'll see the Pixel 7a come. If it is Pixel 7a, we'll see the Pixel Fold come, if we're going to see both at I.O. My guess is they will hold the FCC as long as they can before I.O. on the Fold, would be my guess. Because they don't want anything to fall through the cracks.
That's there. What it was. So Phone Arena was the one that I saw, and they said the serial number that was the serial number dovetails with the one that was spotted on the display of a 7A DBT unit. So
it's not the same serial number,
very unlikely.
It's very similar.
Anything different? Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes sense that with this, with the Fold and being, you know, as hyped as it's been.
Well, they
holding
be,
office.
Yeah, as secretive as possible.
As long as possible. Now, I don't know.
Blurry photos of it on the train are actual real.
Yeah, like, and that's...
You're
I was
not taking that seriously then. Don't give it to dudes to take out of the office. Like, you shouldn't leave the office. But whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll know more sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm literally
crazy to think it's 2 months.
I was sitting there in the break thinking, it's going to be 2 months.
Yeah. For I.O.
And I.O.
It'll be early summer.
Jeez Louise. Yep. Okay, well, there you have it. There's some other maybe news on the Fold. I don't know.
Kind of.
Not really. last thing. Let's talk about Magic Eraser and how you were able to use Magic Eraser on a Chromebook and on the Samsung.
Yeah, it's just how it works on all devices now if you have a Google One account. The bigger news here is that they've attached some Pixel-only features to Google One use in Google Photos. So immediately my reaction to that was, I'll see if I can do it on a Chromebook.
Yep.
Pulled up a couple things. It wasn't showing. I was like, it's not going to work. I clicked one more picture, and Magic Eraser was in the set.
This has to be the Android app, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So not on the web.
Is Unblur
the web,
in there as well?
No. Not yet.
That would
but
be so
did Josh
cool
ever find his?
I don't know.
That was weird. His Unblur just disappeared.
And Photos, like, it does some weird stuff. It's definitely account based, so they can roll it out to different people at different times. And then it can be picky on when it works. And so sometimes I'm like, I want to magic erase, you know, a random object out of something. It doesn't always surface itself as a thing you can do. And so we had some people in the comments ask, like, well, why is it you're getting this and no one else is? Trust me, it's not. I didn't get some special Google Photos. I'm not in the beta. We have no connection with Google. It's nothing special. I just went and installed Google Photos.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be there. But it's probably an account level thing. It's rolling out, they said, over the next couple of weeks. So just like everything else, Google. I mean, I wrote an article today about Workspace and, you know, all the Material U that's coming to Drive and Sheets and Docs and all that stuff. Well, none of my applications actually have Material U yet, but Drive for both my Chrome Unboxed and my personal account have the new Material U look, which looks a lot like the Files app in Chrome OS. So these things are not like, you can't control them. I can't say like this came out, so you can go do it now. But I'm telling you, it was working.
And we've had happen where we've had something on a personal account and not a Workspace, or vice versa, or I had it and you didn't. Yeah, I mean, it'll
show up. Give it time. The Magic Eraser's there, and then the video HDR is that a thing on the phones? Like, can you
turn it on and off? Phone? Is it a setting?
To open up any video you got and see if there's a tool in there to basically crank up HDR and video. It actually worked pretty well.
Here's Robbie hitting his driver off of the deck at...
what was that all about?
Rosewood. There were two shots where we had like 280 in or something. Yeah. And it was like he hit a good one with his
Am I
hybrid.
Going to edit?
Yeah, should go to edit, and there should be...
maybe adjust.
Adjust. Yeah, so... Yeah.
HDR slider.
So, you know, it works pretty well. It does a good job of, you know, kind of bringing up the shadows and pushing down the highs, giving you a little more vibrant look, but you can do it on Chromebook now. And it has a little Google One logo next to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like a specialized thing. So that's nice. I mean, it's not the promised Google Photos video editor I'm waiting for, but
that's cool to see.
So like that, and you know, Magic Eraser working exactly the way it does on a Pixel phone, like on my Chromebook, was really cool to see. And it's cool, like it's on my Samsung phone too, but it's on iPhones as well. Like, I think Google needs to, they're in a weird spot with all of this because they've got phones that they want to do specific stuff for and
to try to sell them.
Yeah. And you want to act like, you know, well, Tensor's the only thing you can do this on. Not really. Like, you don't need Tensor to pull off these photo edits. You don't.
Right.
Like, it may be a little faster. The way you're doing it might work faster on Tensor, but you're going to tell me that Snapdragon that's in this thing can't handle that? Come on. That'd be silly.
Like, yeah.
You're going to tell me the latest Bionic chip from Apple can't handle that photo edit? Come on. Like, right. That's just goofy. Or, you know, start leveraging some of these edits in the cloud. Like, when I'm looking and I'm editing that photo, like on the Chromebook, it becomes really apparent when you click a video or whatever. It's going to download it for you to do the edit. So it is doing the edit local. It's not doing it in the cloud, but you could. Like, if that video is on Google Photos in the cloud, why not leverage your cloud servers to do that heavy lifting? Like, just do it up there. I don't want to download this. I'm going to end up sharing it anyway, probably out via URL. I don't want it on my device. Don't download it to edit it. And then you take out all that stuff. You take out all the friction.
Right.
Granted, then you also take away the whole, like, well, you know, we do this because of Tensor. Okay. Sure you do. It's cool to see Google doing this, because as much as I want to see them succeed with Pixel phones, I do. Leaning back into a hardware agnostic kind of setting for me across the board is helping me, I think, to see some things a little clearer. And one of those is Google's at its best when its software is horizontally aligned, or, hey, we're going to do everything we can to make our stuff work really well on everything else. Yeah. They're at their best when they're doing that.
Like, fundamental idea of open source,
Google Photos thing. Like, everyone can use it and have it. I think it's why Google Messages continues to be an absolute epic failure of a service right now, because it's not universal. Like, I can't go take my iPhone and use Google Messages if I wanted to. I'm not saying anybody would, but if they wanted to, if I wanted to say I want to use an iPhone with my Chromebook, I can't use Google Messages. So that's kind of a bummer right there, because it's not an account-based thing. It's phone number. Well, I guess my phone number gets tied up to iMessage on an iPhone, so that's a no-go. It would be as simple, like with Messages, for instance, as them adding the ability to link my Google account to my phone number in Messages. Like,
yep.
We did this already. We went the backwards way of doing it with Allo, but Allo was phone number first, and then, well, no, it went this way. It was all based on phone number for a while, and then they let you attach your account to it, and say that the two are together. You know they are. Like, Google knows this about me for sure. You know, my phone number has been used in conjunction with my personal email address for a decade at this point. Like, you know that part about me, so why not leverage it that way so that when I use Messages on the web, I don't need to do a QR scan thing or whatever. Let me log in with my freaking Google account, because that's a way to do this horizontally versus...
And it's the way all of your other services work anyway. Right. It's kind of your shtick, you know, so just keep it that way.
And I don't mean to rant on Messages, not where we're here to talk about, but I thought about this the other day. I'm like, if Google's trying to position Google Messages to be something like iMessage for Android users, well, guess what? iMessage also does IM, meaning you can use iMessage without attaching your phone number to it.
Yep.
Matter of fact, that's its default setting.
Yep.
That's the way it default works, just like WhatsApp. Well, WhatsApp forces you to tie the phone number in, but you can now use it at an account level too. Like, it allows you to log into other devices without having to have the phone on you at all time. You know, every other messenger out there is an account-based messaging system, and I don't know. I'm like, how do you ever expect Google Messages to take off and be something that is more ubiquitous when really it's just glorified text messaging right now? And we want to get away from text messaging because text messaging is garbage. Every other country has moved away from it, and now you're fully embracing it. Okay, well, RCS does all that stuff. Great. That's great. But so does the internet, and it has done so since, you know, a decade ago.
Yeah.
So I don't need RCS in order to do most of these things. Let RCS be the fallback.
Right.
And then we're, as soon as you start doing that, you're like, we're back to Allo and Hangouts.
Yep.
We're right back where we started. Like, why did you leave Allo. This? Like, what? I don't know. It's Allo so frustrating. Was so good. And that's why I think, like, Google trips and falls all over itself the minute it starts to do something that only works on XYZ. You know, messages really only works on Android.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. And well, SMS goes, no, we're trying to get away from SMS. So we're trying to kill that. So RCS only works on Android right now because Apple won't take it. And everywhere else around the world has gotten away from, you know, carrier built messaging in general. So I'm like, what? I don't know how to even root for Google messages. And it's a perfect example of Google aligning itself with something and falling on its face trying to do it. In some ways, sometimes I feel like they do that with Pixel. They want so badly to do the same thing that Apple and Samsung are doing, where it's like, here's this unique thing that's
exclusive
only ours.
Features, yeah.
But they're doing it without the audience.
Right.
Like, Apple and Samsung built the audience first and started doing some of those things to try to keep people in. Google, you don't have it. You don't have that audience. And so you're at your best when you remember that and build software and hardware experiences that embrace that fact. Like, so I get it. You want to sell 100 Pixel phones, and it's more difficult right now to differentiate yourself in phone hardware than it's ever been. They're all slabs. At glance, you glance down the table and be like, well, which one's which now?
Yeah. Right.
Which phone's which? Whatever. I don't know. They're both really good. They're the same size. They both have great cameras.
It's a screen with apps and a camera on the back. Like, that's what it is. And, you know, I get that it's hard, but you know, it's funny in a market like Chromebooks where that's been the case since the beginning, manufacturers still find ways to kind of etch out their space, you know, in the market. And because Chrome OS is always the same across. So now it's like you don't get to mess with all that stuff. So how are you going to differentiate? We're going to build better hardware. We're going to build thoughtful experiences. We're going to do all these things that help us stand above, head and shoulders above anyone else. But we have to do it from like these honest standpoints versus
that's what Google needs to do. Because ever since they started doing these Pixel features and Pixel drops and stuff, I always thought it just feels gimmicky and it doesn't feel Google. Keep all of that lateral focus on, because the Pixel's great. It is. Can Google improve? Is there room? Absolutely. Sure. Improve on the hardware. Fix any issues with the, you know, my wife is still, she's got a great screen protector on hers. Screen protector mode's on, the fingerprint sensor works 1 out of 3 times. Stuff like that. Just focus on making your phones perfect. And I know even Samsung deals with battery gate and stuff like that, but make your hardware perfect and then pour all of your resources on crushing Apple and everyone else on videography and photography. Use your computational photography for that, but leave all of your software and services and stuff, just leave those across the board.
And spend some of the money that you're using on this other stuff that are these gimmicky Pixel only things, and figure out how to do support properly.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how to support your phones so that when people have a problem, they know where to go and can get stuff worked out. Because without those things, like, you're having a hard time differentiating. And again, it's Google making these weird one-off attempts, it feels like, to do something like an Apple or a Samsung would. Right. And every time they do it, I just feel like it doesn't work. Just doesn't.
And that's the thing. There. Like you said, cell phones are, they've gotten to the point where it's a cell phone. Okay. If they want to stand out, then it's not going to be with these ooh exclusive features. Only our Android phone has that. They need to, building on the support comment, they need to go above and beyond. We saw a few reports of like the volume rockers popping off.
Yeah.
And people being told, sorry, it's not covered.
Yes,
what? That's not
what phone, what piece of mechanical or electronic or hardware would you buy that has a warranty on it that wouldn't be covered if the volume rocker fell off?
Right.
You're not making billions of dollars off these right now, but if you produce a really great phone that you can honestly say, get up on stage and say, this is just as good, if not better, than anything else out there. Oh, and by the way, no matter what happens with this phone, we're going to make sure we're here to support you and fix and help or whatever you need to do.
And, like Google has, I think, kind of a trump card in the way that they handle Android as a software. Like, their experience, after having used this Samsung for a few weeks, is still better. It's a better, more cohesive look and version. I want that with this kind of hardware with all the proper Bluetooth stacks and all that stuff. Like, I want all that stuff to work too. Like, the, you know, and basics. So I would rather have a phone with better hardware and the basics like this that maybe doesn't have as polished of a hardware or a software experience. It's still good. It's Samsung's own thing. Like, it's the way they see Android. And as I've gotten used to it, it's not a problem. It's not like it gets in the way. You know, and so it's like, okay, well, am I more concerned about that, or am I more concerned about my Bluetooth working with my car every time, or pairing with my earbuds every time, or making sure my watch stays connected to my phone every time? Well, yeah, those things matter more, and they work better on this phone, period. Like, pairing my earbuds, dealing with my car, my watch, and all this stuff, I don't have to think about those things. I don't mess with those things because they just work the right way. And, you know, like, Google needs to focus on that stuff and keep making good hardware with great cameras, and, like, get away from the gimmicky stuff. Like, stop doing pixel-only features and acting as if the processor in here is necessary for you to pull off some sort of whatever. It's not. It just isn't.
So do you think that with this move with Magic Eraser, because obviously, like, it's funny, even just like my cousins at Christmas were like, saw that I had a Pixel. Oh, can we try Magic Eraser? Like, for some reason, there was something about that feature that latched on.
And
that's
and people get upset because they're just like, well, Samsung's had it with such and such and so and so. Like, they marketed it. They chose to market that as a thing.
Right.
Like, market it as a Google Photos thing.
Yeah.
Get more people using Google Photos.
Right.
Like, but stop worrying about getting people to try to buy a Pixel phone. Yeah. Use the software that you provide. Get their account. Like, use people to continue spreading, you know, your abilities in the market versus trying to tie it to a piece of hardware that's frankly struggling to sell.
Right. I mean, but do you all think they'll add, like, the Unblur is the next one that immediately comes to mind for me, because I think, like, if you're working on unblurring some old vintage photos or whatever,
so
and have it on your Chromebook, right? A nice screen, you can zoom in, like, really see what you're working on. Do you think they'll add additional stuff like
every feature has come to Google Photos over time.
Yep.
It's just a matter of time. And it's just like, if that's going to be the case, like, that doesn't, to me, it's super gimmicky feeling to be like, it was a Pixel only feature. Yeah, for a little while.
Yeah.
Because you all enjoy it. Like, you put so much effort into making this really cool thing.
And then there's not that many people using it.
Right. No one believes that you're going to just keep it for your phones.
Yeah.
You know, like, and if it's going to be an exclusive feature, it needs to be something bigger than the ability to edit a photo. Like, it, because someone else is going to come around and do that anyway.
Right.
Or there's another, you know, people have talked about that. There's unblurring software. There's erasing software and stuff out there. There's already Android apps that do all of these things. And so Google didn't make any, they reinvented the wheel basically here and marketed it and made it a big deal of it. It's not like it hasn't been able to be done before with apps that you can get on Android.
Right.
And again, I don't know. I don't want to be like, well, I've moved on to Samsung. I don't care about Google hardware. It's not that.
Robbie's all in on Samsung until he returns the phone next week.
It's too late. Too late now. but the
no, I think he's in on this one. We what else?
I don't know. So,
I'm just sitting on this until the Pixel Fold comes out, to be honest. But I don't want to hate on Google stuff. I want them to achieve good things. But the more I look at the... And I think part of it is the Pixel tablet, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I've looked at it, like, what are they going to do with this thing? Like, if Samsung can't make real headway in the tablet market, is Google really going to show up? And
oh, by the way, if it's like an assistant home thing with the speaker on it, and the assistant's getting worse, that's not great either.
That's like, the idea of that is great if the assistant was in a better place, but I'm just like... Now it's just hopefully it's just a really good speaker, but it's a dock for your tablet too. But it's a tablet that's not going to be a productivity tool.
I don't know. I'm not sure. And so, like,
we don't know until we see it. But still.
Yeah, the more I think about this stuff, I'm just like, those are just more things that Google's trying to differentiate. And I get it. Like, their hardware division's trying to do something, and I want them to succeed at it. But because they are partners with other OEMs, it's
strange.
So weird. Mm-hmm. It's such a weird spot. And it makes so much more sense in the Chromebook segment where they're at there, because they can partner with all these people and do great things like the HP Dragonfly, like what we've seen with it so far and that we can talk about. Like, that product doesn't come about without partnership with Google, and so now Google wins and HP wins out of that partnership. And they don't have to feel like they have to go do it themselves.
Right.
And I'm like, Android's mature enough. Like, do we really need Google to go do it themselves?
Yeah, because like with the Pixel tablet, you know, Lenovo's had a couple of iterations of these M tablets with Alexa and the assistant that fit into a dock. And the tablets themselves are okay. They're not great, but they're okay. The docks and everything, they don't look good. They're not attractive. It's not something I would ever have sit in my living room. But now you've got OnePlus that's put out this tablet that I haven't touched it myself. I've read a lot of really good stuff, but it's Dimensity 9000, right? So it's a beast. Work with Lenovo and these other companies that make Android tablets and say, hey, look, we're not trying to butt heads with Samsung, but let's make Android tablets good. Yeah. And if we want to integrate some smart home stuff, then let's do that. But stop making these things that look like they belong in an industrial factory and they suck.
Yeah.
Google hardware is just tough.
Sorry,
Lenovo. It's a strange spot. And, you know, Google at its core is a software and services
engineering
company.
You know,
an engineering company.
They build
right.
services for right. people. And yeah. and that's, again, I'll say it 100 times. Like, that's when they're at their best.
Yeah.
That's when I'm most
That's why
like,
we love Chrome OS so much.
Google.
Like,
I love Google for this. I love that they have these services, and this is so cool. And I get frustrated with Google's hardware. Mm-hmm.
I love when Sundar comes up and does keynotes, and he always leads with stuff like, you know, when we started Google, we set out to collect and organize the world's data and find ways to use that information for the benefit
to help people.
Of the world.
Yeah.
That's what you all need to keep
right.
focusing
and,
on.
And like
right.
building our own phone that only has stuff that we have on it.
Yeah,
feels
strange.
So counter
Apple.
It does. It feels very Apple. Feels like we're trying to get vertical, but you can't. Like your entire company is built on being able to be horizontal and help all these different OSs. And so, I don't know.
Well, if you really want to do it, just wipe everything, get rid of the Android name and everything, and just have Android phones and Chromebooks and everything just say powered by Google. There you go. You want to be... Seriously, I mean, you are really great at software. Let the world know that, hey, I've got this phone. I've got a Samsung. I've got this. I've got that. They're all powered by Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, what do you have? Do you
that's
have
Nexus
do you
is
have,
so awesome.
Do you have an Android? Do you have a Apple product, or do you have something that's powered by Google?
Yeah. That's
I mean
there
well,
you go.
That's it.
At the end of the day, somebody asked me the other day, what kind of phone do you have? It was like I was trying to pay a bill or something.
Yeah.
Is it an Apple, a Samsung, or an Android?
Yeah. Oh, people think
that's a problem.
Yeah.
All of them.
Huge problem.
Right.
That's a huge problem.
You have all the Androids.
And the fact is, Pixel's not going to fix that. Yeah. Like, your brand could be perfect. Like, it could be a perfect phone. It's too late.
So, do you use Samsung Pay?
I set it up just to have it, but...
And I'm sure that...
Back when it was where you could, like, on the swipies, you could use it. It had a magnet thing that would, like, interact with the swipey without having to have Tap to Pay. I don't even know if it does that anymore. They don't advertise that anymore. But remember those commercials?
Yep. Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, do you take Tap to Pay? Nope, doesn't matter. People would freak out. Like, my brother-in-law always had a Samsung. They've had Samsung phones forever, and he used it all the time, like at gas pumps and things. And people were like, oh, we don't do Tap to Pay. He's like, okay. You put it up there because it's shooting that magnet basically to it. And I'm like, that was really awesome. You know, I don't know. But no, I use Google Pay on you.
I think it's funny because, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people that use Samsung Pay, but I still get people where I'll ask, you know, you Tap and Pay. Oh, Apple Pay? No, Tap. I think we have Samsung. No, like Android phone.
They all work.
Tap and Pay. Does this do that?
Yeah. As long as it takes the Tap and Pay, it will work.
Yeah.
We're getting there. It's insert, swipe, tap. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
It's not Apple.
I don't know what to do.
I did like that at Disney, though. When you stop for the character photos, they just tap their little thing to your phone for the photo pass.
Yeah.
It's in the Google Wallet. It's
dope. It's brilliant.
Yeah. All right, folks. I think that's it for this week. We appreciate all of you all tuning in and listening and watching. If you are watching over on YouTube, make sure to give us a thumbs up. Go down there and click subscribe and click the notification bell so that you get an alert and put out new episodes. All right. We'll catch you all next week. See you. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.